This is Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Today on J Seculo Live, yet another layer in the partisan political saga at the FBI.
Live from Washington, D.C., J Seculo Live.
Now, this key shift from grossly negligent to extremely careless may seem like mere semantics, but it actually reflects a decision that the FBI could have had a potentially serious legal implication here, as the federal law that actually governs the handling of classified materials establishes criminal penalties for gross negligence.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The Department of Justice Inspector General is reviewing his role in the Clinton email scandal, including reports that he watered down language in the final Comey report, changing the words, quote, grossly negligent to extremely careless.
And now your host, Than Bennett.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. Than Bennett coming to you from Washington, D.C. Jay, Jordan, and Logan are actually on their way to Washington as we speak. They're going to be here this week participating in a major conference advocating for those who are suffering religious persecution around the world. So we will be bringing more news from you on our work on that front in the days to come. But we have a tremendous amount to cover today. I'm joined by Professor Harry Hutchinson in our media center in Tennessee. We'll be joined later in the broadcast by Colonel Wes Smith to discuss the situation in North Korea that grows graver by the day. We're also going to be talking about the tax bill that is moving through the conference committee in Congress. I've been involved in that very heavily this week. We will also be talking about a Supreme Court ruling, an order that upholds the travel ban of President Trump. Very good news. We'll be talking about that in the second half hour of the broadcast. But folks, we have got to start with this. We have talked so many times on this broadcast about how the bureaucratic state and the top law enforcement agencies in our government, the FBI, the Department of Justice, they're in turmoil. And I was having a conversation with a colleague here earlier today. Every time that you think it can't get worse, every time that you think it's hit rock bottom, a new revelation has come out, and that is what has happened today. Folks, you heard Jay talk about this yesterday, the name that many of you will remember, Peter Strzok. He is the FBI agent who initiated this email chain that I'm holding in my hands. It was uncovered as a part of our Freedom of Information Act request at the FBI. He initiated this email chain that informed Director Comey that the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, would be stepping outside of the Hillary Clinton investigation. He was also the agent who made news just a couple of weeks ago for being fired by Special Counsel Mueller. Now, why was he fired? He was fired because he was sending politically biased text messages that were against President Trump, of course, the target of the investigation. He also, the recipient of those text messages was someone who worked for Andrew McCabe, who is the acting director at the FBI, and who, by the way, he was having an extramarital relationship with. All of this is intertwined. He showed his political bias and therefore was rightly removed from the special counsel's team. But folks, wait until you hear the list of other cases that this individual, Peter Strzok, was involved with and, in fact, leading at the FBI. I'm going to run through a number of them as we go through this broadcast and bring Professor Hutchinson in the next segment of the broadcast to talk about. But let me just give you two of them. It has now been revealed through metadata that was turned over to the Senate Judiciary Committee that Peter Strzok was the primary agent responsible for editing that infamous statement that Director Comey gave exonerating Hillary Clinton, changing that phrase from grossly negligent to extremely careless, which, as we've talked about in this broadcast before, has a very specific meaning. Professor Hutchinson will get into that in the next segment of the broadcast. And secondly, folks, due to some great investigative reporting by Sarah Carter, CNN, and many other mainline media, so this is not just Fox News or others that maybe some people would write off as maybe more favorable to the president, which, of course, I think they've been pretty fair and balanced. It was discovered that he was one of the agents who interviewed General Flynn and who allegedly the charge that is now leveled against General Flynn, that answer came in an interview from FBI agent Peter Strzok, who has now been fired because of his politically biased text messages. By the way, same agent who interviewed Uma Abedin and Cheryl Mills, who also lied and have not been prosecuted. We'll talk about all of it and more. You can join us online. You can see us at aclj.org. If you want to be a part of the broadcast, call now 1-800-684-3110. After the break, I'll be joined by Professor Harry Hutchinson.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want to hear what you have to say about this most recent revelation. I said it in the first segment of the broadcast, but every time I think that the deep state, the bureaucratic state, has stooped as low as it can go, we get another revelation. And I just want to say right at the outset of this segment, our goal at the American Center for Law and Justice has always been to restore the confidence of the American people to our top law enforcement agencies. There are some out there who have said that the effort should be to undermine them or to remove their credibility. Folks, we want exactly the opposite. It is critically important that the American people have confidence in the FBI, have confidence in the Department of Justice. But the only way that we can do that is if we root out a partisan agenda or a political influence that has clearly permeated the FBI. I want to go to Professor Harry Hutchison in this segment of the broadcast to get his perspective. But Professor, we outlined this in the opening segment of the broadcast, that this revelation that's coming about FBI agent Peter Strzok, who was the agent that initiated the email that we uncovered in our FOIA litigation that ultimately informed Director Comey that Attorney General Lynch was stepping down from her post. He was also the one that was tasked by Special Counsel Mueller to be a part of the Russia investigation. He was fired because he had a political bias that was demonstrated in a text message that he sent to another FBI agent, and an FBI agent, by the way, who worked for Andrew McCabe, who is now in charge of the FBI. He was also a main player, Harry, in so many issues, and I want you to walk through some of them, but I'm just going to tick a couple of them off. He was, of course, as we've already mentioned, a leader in the Clinton email scandal, primarily responsible for that edit that changed Director Comey's statement from a standard of grossly negligent to extremely careless. He was also one of the agents who actually interviewed Hillary Clinton. Professor, he was the agent primarily responsible for handling Christopher Steele and that infamous dossier. He was officially signed off on the Russia investigation. And maybe most problematic to me today, the new revelation, he was the agent in the room at the White House that interviewed General Flynn and then also interviewed Uma Abedin and Cheryl Mills. Now, we know in the case of the latter two that they gave false testimony to the FBI and were never prosecuted for it. We know the situation was a little bit different for General Flynn. But, Professor, my point to you and what I'd like you to give our listeners comment on is this has become pattern and practice at the FBI. The same people with the same partisan agendas are involved in all of these issues. and it has undermined the American people's confidence in our top law enforcement agencies.
Fan, I think you're absolutely right. The deep state at prayer has ramped up its effort to derail both the current administration and the rule of law. So let's focus on the law for a moment. Let's go back to 18 U.S.C. Section 793F. Mr. Strzok helped rewrite the memo that exonerated Hillary Clinton. If you look at the law, Section 1 states, anyone through gross negligence who permits documents to be removed from their proper place. So the statutory language focuses on gross negligence. It's clear beyond question that the language that Mr. Strzok used in the memo exonerating Hillary Clinton, he used that language in an attempt to undermine any claim that she should indeed be prosecuted, even though gross negligence and extreme carelessness mean precisely the same thing. In essence, he was trying to help Mr. Comey undermine the Clinton investigation. So his hands are on the Hillary Clinton email investigation. He was at work with respect to the prosecution of General Flynn. He also engaged in an attempt, apparently, to cover up the Clinton the Clinton-Loretta Lynch meeting in Phoenix. So everywhere we look, Strzok's hands are all over the effort by leaders in the FBI to undermine, in my opinion, the rule of law. Under the rule of law, we should all be treated equally. Hillary Clinton was not treated equally. She was treated favorably. And so all of us would like that particular deal. On the other hand, he apparently decided to treat Mr. Flynn, General Flynn, unfavorably. And so this undermines the American people's confidence in the rule of law and in the Constitution and clearly the FBI. That approach to the rule of law is not sustainable.
And folks, our strategy on this from the very beginning has been to approach it from multiple angles. Of course, we have asked in many different Freedom of Information a request for information that led to the documents we have in front of us. We've also worked with the House and Senate to support their investigations. Again, it was metadata that was received by the Senate Judiciary Committee that confirms that Agent Strzok was, in fact, the primary agent responsible for that edit between terms that Harry is talking about in Director Comey's statements. It is only after all of those efforts, and there have been a lot of our friends that have stood with us in that, but that it has permeated to the mainstream media. Fortunately, today, as I told you, CNN has covered it. Sarah Carter has covered it. I saw something on MSNBC covering these newest revelations. And of course, our good friend Catherine Herridge over at Fox News has followed this from the beginning. She has also detailed many of Agent Strzok's involvement in these matters. I want to play for you Byte 19. This is Catherine Herridge talking about the problematic conflict of interest of Agent Strzok. Let's go ahead and play it.
Agent Strzok changed Comey's earlier draft about Clinton's emails and her use of an unsecured personal server exclusively for government business from grossly negligent to extremely careless. This is a key change because gross negligence is the standard under the federal statute for prosecution, 18 U.S.C. 793F. The FBI agent was removed by special counsel Robert Mueller last summer for sending anti-Trump texts to his lover, an FBI lawyer. Legal experts say even the appearance of a conflict undercuts the Bureau's work.
Folks, it's pretty outrageous, and I want to hear what you have to say on it. Again, we have some phone lines open at 1-800-684-3110, and I want to go back to Professor Harry Hutchison in a moment. But before I forget, I want to mention, we have on our website, aclj.org, a 31-page document of the timeline involved in the Clinton-Lynch tarmac meeting that Professor Hutchison was talking about. Now, most of the information you will find in this timeline came out of documents from our FOIA work, gathering information from both the Department of Justice and the FBI, piecing them together to show the timeline. And in many cases, you see a collaboration that existed between the Department of Justice, the FBI, sometimes the State Department, but literally, folks, within minutes, sometimes 2 or 3 minutes of receiving a key piece of information in the case, it makes its way all the way to the top of that agency, whether it be Director Comey or Attorney General Loretta Lynch. But Harry, I wanted to go back to you on something that you alluded to just a moment ago, the multiple standards that seem to exist for various people in similar situations. You know, Agent Strzok, about a year ago, also was the agent that interviewed Cheryl Mills and Uma Abedin, as we've talked about. And the 302s, those are the summaries that come out of those interviews. The 302s, if you read them, it shows that both Mills and Abedin testified that they were not aware of a private server of Hillary Clinton at all. In fact, Cheryl Mills even testified that she wasn't even sure she knew what a server was at the time in question. And of course, emails that have been uncovered since through our FOIA and others have demonstrated that not only did they know about it, Harry, but they were asking IT professionals about why the server was down when they were having problems accessing it. So there seems to be a clear double standard on the part of Agent Strzok, and I would say even more broadly, on when they get false information from an individual, what they do with it.
Absolutely. So let's just focus on Abedin and Mills. Both of those individuals lied to FBI agents. That is precisely what General Flynn is charged with. He apparently lied to an FBI agent, and he pled guilty. So the question becomes, why weren't Abedin and Mills also charged? It's also important to note that Strzok interviewed, or he participated in the interview, as I understand it, with Hillary Clinton. Based on the evidence available, she also did not tell the truth. So why wasn't she charged? So do we have a double standard, or does the rule of law and the Constitution apply to each and every one of us? If the American Republic is going to be sustainable going forward, we need to adhere to the rule of law and restore confidence in our public officials and certainly the FBI and the Justice Department.
Folks, if our way of government is going to work, we have to have confidence in our law enforcement agency. Justice has to be blind. And while we don't know the ultimate end of all of these investigations, we don't maybe know the full truth of all of them, we can see a clear double standard, and it is undermining our law enforcement agencies. It's got to stop. Folks, after this break, we're going to talk about taxes. That's moving through Congress. It's a very important issue for all of you. And again, as we close our matching challenge at the end of this year, you can give a gift for the work at the ACLJ, and your gift will be doubled. You can give at ACLJ.org. Back after this.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Jay, Jordan, and Logan will be back later this week to talk about the conference that they are participating in today and the remainder of the week, advocating for those suffering from religious persecution all around the world. Excited to hear about that conference and their involvement in it. But today, folks, we're hitting a number of issues, and just want to reset the stage here really quickly before I get to some of your phone calls. Again, we do have a couple of lines open at 1-800-684-3110. And I do want to get to the taxes issue because it's something that I've been primarily focused on this week and last. But this new revelation that's coming out about FBI agent Peter Strzok, on top of all of the other problems that have been happening at the FBI and the undermining of the confidence of the American people in their ability to investigate and be our top law enforcement agency, his involvement in basically every key misstep that has happened at the FBI, on top of the fact that he was fired from Special Counsel Mueller's investigation for sending politically laced text messages to someone who worked for Andrew McCabe against the president while he was working on that very issue. And now the revelation that he was the agent that interviewed Michael Flynn, upon whom which, lying to the FBI, a charge was leveled against General Flynn, Cheryl Mills and Uma Abedin, both of whom we know now lied to the FBI, but no charges were brought. Folks, the fact that he was involved, despite this well-known political motive inside the agency and all of these issues, is so problematic, and it is just the latest piece of evidence that their credibility has been undermined, and I'm not sure they are capable of self-correction. We have to have confidence in that agency, and right now, I don't think the American people do, and I don't, frankly, blame them. But I want to hear what you have to say on the topic. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Have a couple of lines open, 1-800-684-3110. Let's start with Greg calling on line one from California. Greg, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking the call. With respect to the new allegations coming out of the FBI and old ones dealing with the CIA leadership, way back when, I think near the beginning of the Trump administration, Chuck Schumer said, the intelligence community has six ways from Sunday to deal with someone they don't like, talking about Trump. Well, I want to know what Chuck Schumer knows. And are these intelligence people in the FBI and the CIA colluding with him? What information does he have that we should be able to find out?
Yeah, it's a good point, Greg. Let me read you that exact comment that you're referring to. It was Chuck Schumer talking to MSNBC's Rachel Maddow. He said, let me tell you, you take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. It's basically a veiled threat, not so veiled really, that the intelligence community has an agenda and that they may be out to get you if you cross them. And I want to go to Professor Hutchison on this because, Professor, over the course of the last several months, we've heard a lot about possible foreign involvement in elections and the rest, and it's something that everyone should, of course, be concerned about. But you would expect foreign entities to try to meddle in our affairs. That's something that we're always on guard against. What you would not expect is the lead law enforcement agencies of our own government, our own bureaucracy, the people who are supposed to be standing up for rule of law inside of our own country, to be the ones that are undermining that exact process. And yet, Greg makes a great point. Through all of the issues that we've talked about, certainly the ones involving Agent Peter Strzok, who's had his credibility completely shot over these most recent revelations. But, Professor, it seems to me that our primary concern, our greatest concern, better be riding the ship that is the intelligence community right inside our own government.
Craig raises a brilliant question. And the real question is, did the FBI, the Justice Department, and the intel community collude with deep state loyalists, which may include Evelyn Farkas, Sally Yates, and clearly Peter Strzok, to undermine first the rule of law and secondarily the current administration? So that is a great question. The Inspector General of the FBI has launched an investigation. He is the one, as I understand it, who has uncovered Mr. Strzok's anti-Trump bias in connection with his alleged affair with Lisa Page. We certainly need a deeper investigation to find out whether or not there is more deep state collusion in play. But clearly there is enough smoke to warrant a deeper investigation, and I certainly look forward to finding answers. In connection with that, clearly the ACLJ needs to maintain its efforts through freedom of information requests to uncover additional information as well.
Well, it's a great point, Professor, because I've said this many times, but I don't believe that these revelations, that these investigations moving forward would be occurring unless we were uncovering the documents through the Freedom of Information Act. Because quite honestly, while the Senate Judiciary Committee has done some great work, the House Intel Committee has done some great work, we have had to piece those puzzle pieces together to tell this full story. And again, a lot of this timeline is up at ACLJ.org. I really encourage people to go check it out. I will say also, the House Intel Committee wants to interview Andrew McCabe about this. They want to interview Agent Strzok about this. We will see if they will comply with those requests or not, or if they push forward and, in fact, subpoena them. But I want to go to a comment that Congressman Trey Gowdy from South Carolina made about the last caller's point. The point that, sure, we need to be concerned about people outside of our borders who might want to undermine the credibility of either our elections or our way of government or whatever it may be. But even more concerning than that is if you have that wolf inside of your own government, which it seems to be the case with the Intelligence Committee, you should be more concerned about agencies inside our own government who are working to undermine it or who have their own political agenda. Again, this is Congressman Trey Gowdy from South Carolina addressing that issue.
People have the right to assume the people that are investigating them are objective and have not already made up their minds. That's why we need to see the text and we need to interview this special agent. But the Bureau's had a really bad last 18 months. And this this makes it worse, frankly. Wow.
Steve on Facebook says, sounds like we're living in an FBI police state. Mike on Facebook says, if we keep digging, we will eventually get to the ringleader. And Mike, I could not agree with you more. That is what we are committed to here at the ACLJ. And I just want to reset something that we opened the broadcast with. The goal here is not to undermine the FBI, the Department of Justice, and the rest of our law enforcement. The goal is to make sure that our law enforcement agencies are in fact blind, that they are administering justice equally to all, and all of the evidence that is in front of us indicates that that has not been the case in recent history. It indicates that there has been a partisan political agenda on the part of very many inside those agencies that has to be rooted out. We will not have confidence in our FBI, in our Department of Justice, until that changes. And folks, it is going to remain a priority of the American Center for Law and Justice. Listen, folks, in the next 30 minutes of the broadcast, we want to move on to the situation in North Korea as well as the tax bill that is moving through conference. If you do not get the next 30 minutes of the broadcast, I encourage you to watch online at ACLJ.org. You can also find it on Facebook at Jay Sekulow's page. We're also broadcasting through Periscope on Twitter, at Jay Sekulow. You can also always get information on Twitter from at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, or at Logan Sekulow. After this break, we will move on to taxes in North Korea. We want to get your perspective on how important that tax reform bill is to you. Call in now, 1-800-684-3110, and be a part of our matching challenge at ACLJ.org.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett coming to you from Washington, D.C. We are going to give you an update on the situation with the tax reform bill that is moving through Congress. I know many of you have been watching, but I just wanted to take this opportunity as we discuss so many issues today: taxes, the travel ban at the Supreme Court, North Korea, this crazy revelation at the FBI, the partisan agenda that was clearly on display on behalf of agents. I just want to remind you of the scope and breadth of the work of the ACLJ. And this is a very important time of the year for us at the ACLJ. As we could come down to the end of the year, it's a time where many people do their charitable contributions for the year. And much of our work next year will depend on your generosity during this period. We're fortunate to be in a matching challenge where if you can support the work of the ACLJ and make a gift of $10, that $10 becomes $20. If you can give $50, that becomes $100. If you can give $100, that becomes $200, and so on. Again, it is a disproportionately important time of the year for us. So if you like the work of the ACLJ, if you like this broadcast and being informed on all these issues, I encourage you to consider giving if you can. It also enables us to be across the street at the Supreme Court, the cases that we have pending there. It allows my work here in Washington, D.C., our government affairs work to go forward. So again, if you can consider giving, your gift will be doubled in this important time. You can give right at aclj.org. Click the donate button, and it's very convenient. It is, of course, tax deductible. Speaking of taxes, Harry, this has been one of the primary reasons for my existence in recent weeks, is following the ups and downs of this tax debate in Congress. I know many of our listeners have followed it. I know you have been in the policy weeds, reading probably more tax code than even someone who has an interest in economics like you do probably cares to. But we are now through the House. We had 227 votes for the tax cut bill in the House. We squeaked through in the United States Senate with 51 votes. Not a single Democrat voted for the bill. GOP Senator from Tennessee, Bob Corker, also voted against the bill. So the vote was 51 to 49. We are now in a process where they are going to what is called a conference committee to iron out the differences between those two bills. In fact, last night, the House of Representatives voted to go to conference. Basically, they insisted on their version of the bill. And we expect by tomorrow the Senate will insist on their amendment to the bill. So, Harry, I know there are a lot of differences between the bills. The broad brushstrokes are the same, but there are a lot of differences that they have to iron out. And we can go through some of them one by one. But what is your sense, if you have followed this, at maybe one or two or three of the key issues that they need to come to agreement on if we are going to send this bill to the desk of the president for enactment?
Fan, you're absolutely right. As you well know, taxes are an emotionally riveting issue. But one of the key differences, as I understand it, is that in the Senate version, they are repealing the individual mandate, which is perhaps the first step in repealing Obamacare. As you well know, the Republicans failed to repeal and replace Obamacare earlier in the year. But it appears to me that if the Senate version goes forward as part of the conference process, we will move toward repealing the individual mandate, which will undermine, I hope, Obamacare. So that's an important difference that we should focus on. There are some other differences with respect to treatment of pass-throughs, perhaps state and local taxes. But in terms of broad strokes, it's important to realize that both the Senate and the House version, if either bill passed current as intact with the intact language, it would be the first major tax repeal and replacement in about 31 years. We need tax reform to jump start the economy. So I think this would be a step forward, whether any of the provisions in either the House or the Senate version pass after the conference.
The American people have consistently said that tax relief and broad rate reduction is their primary priority. It is time to send this bill, some version of it, to the president for his signature. We'll have more on this and the situation in North Korea after this break.
This is a critical time for our nation. and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, if you want to be a part of the broadcast, now would be a great time to call. We have a couple of lines open, and we are going to take your calls specifically on the tax issue in this segment of the broadcast. The number is 1-800-684-3110. We are also being joined in studio now by Colonel Retired Wes Smith, our senior military analyst. In just a moment, he's going to give us an update on the situation in North Korea. It's growing graver by the day as the regime there in North Korea continues to threaten the United States and really the world, really without any parameters of sanity. So that threat continues to grow, and Colonel Smith will give us an update. But I want to just quickly update you again. Professor Hutchison and I had began this conversation in the last segment of the broadcast, but on where we stand on tax relief. And folks, this really is the most important priority of the American people, to draw down on the power of the federal government by taking a bit of your money back from Washington, D.C., which has not been spending it wisely, not been behaving responsibly with the way that they use your tax dollars. And the best way to fight back is to keep more of that money in the first place and not give them control of it. Quite frankly, while there are differences in the House and Senate bill, both of these bills accomplish that broad goal of drawing down the tax burden across the tax brackets on the American people and returning more of those dollars to your pocket. So I think it is just so critically important that some version of this land on the desk of the president for his signature. And I am fairly confident that that will happen. But I want to issue a sort of a word of warning to our friends in the House and the Senate. Now that the United States Senate has gotten a bill through that chamber, which has been notoriously difficult for moving pieces of legislation that are a priority to the American people, this absolutely cannot die. I am glad there's a conference committee going on to iron out some of these differences that we will talk about. But folks, if that conference committee cannot come to a conclusion, if they cannot come to an agreement, then one of these two versions that has passed one of the chambers needs to be passed by the other chamber, and it needs to be sent to the president for his signature. And let me just give you a couple of the differences, and I'll go to Professor Hutchison to talk about a couple of these. But Professor, you talked about the individual mandate repeal being in the Senate version of the legislation, and it's not in the House version, although I think the House can easily pass it. So I would suspect that that will be in a version that the conference committee puts out in their final report. But it's so appropriate to me that this is the vehicle that the United States Senate finally was able to cross this threshold, because you'll remember well, there was a big debate when this was happening on whether or not the individual mandate constituted a tax. That fight went all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and the highest court in the land ruled that this was in fact a tax. So taking it out of the code, or at least eliminating the penalty for it, is entirely appropriate in the tax bill. I would say, Professor Hutchison, that is one of the differences between the two that the Senate position really should carry the day on.
Absolutely. So I would be happy if either version passes the House and the Senate. But clearly, I would express a preference for the retention of the individual mandate provision. It's also important to note that both versions would simplify the code for middle-class Americans. So on average, at each different tax rate level, all Americans would receive a tax cut. Importantly as well, the corporate tax would fall dramatically. Currently, we have the highest corporate tax rates in the developed world. We need to reduce the corporate tax in order to be more economically competitive. That will generate more jobs going forward. In addition, we need to encourage the repatriation of trillions of dollars that are being held abroad. And again, that would help generate jobs and an economic recovery. We cannot balance the budget with 1.9% economic growth. That has been the average annual growth rate over the last 7 or 8 years under the Obama administration. So both bills advance economic growth, and I certainly look forward to seeing the results of the conference. But where I sit, I would accept either version of tax reform.
I certainly agree with you, Professor. And I want to go to Mike calling on line 2 from Illinois in just a moment. But the question I want to pose to all of our listeners are, what provisions are the most important to you? You're hearing about several of the differences. And I would just maybe mention 2 more that I'm not sure we've talked about as much on this broadcast. One of them is the child tax credit. This is a very important credit for families across America who lower their tax liability based on the fact that they are raising a family, which I'm a father of 3. I know how expensive it can be. In the current code, you get a $1,000 per child tax credit that phases out fairly early. In the House version, that increases to $1,600, and the phase-out threshold is raised. In the Senate version, that level is raised all the way to $2,000, and the phase-out level is raised as well. So once again, I think it's a provision that the Senate bill is slightly better on. There are some provisions that I think the House bill is better on. I'll give you one. It would be a repeal and a rollback of the Johnson Amendment that many of our listeners know about. It's a prohibition on political speech, any sort of political speech, from churches and other 501c3s. There is a provision in the House bill that incorporates language from Steve Scalise that rolls that back. It's a provision that we've been fighting for literally more than 20 years. That is in the House version. It is not in the Senate version. So on that particular issue, I think the House position should prevail. But you're getting an idea of the sense of the various little things around the edges that need to be ironed out, that need to be agreed on. But I agree with Professor Hutchison. The most important thing is to get this broad-based tax relief to the president for his signature, and to do it before the end of the year, so that the next tax year 2018, will be impacted by this legislation. Okay, let's go to the phones. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Let's start with Mike, calling from my home state of Illinois on line 2. Mike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live, and hello to my fellow Illini.
Yeah, that's not a very good subject right now. I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and my question is, we're allowed so much a day for being out here as a tax write-off or per diem. Are these bills going to address that, or are they going to eliminate it?
Yeah, I think the way that would most likely apply is through that pass-through rate. I'll go to Professor Hutchison on this. It's tough to say on the individual tax profile situation, so I know we can't give specific advice. It depends Harry, on what that per diem constitutes. Does it constitute personal income? Does it constitute, are you an independent contractor and it ends up being essentially a small business that is passed through? So it's difficult to give you a specific answer on that. But it is important to note that no matter what the income is, you are going to be paying a lower rate at your tax bracket. And yes, you may get fewer deductions along the way, but you also receive that doubling of the standard deduction at the very beginning of the tax code. So, Harry, it's difficult for me to imagine that Mike would be in a worse place than he is right now.
Yes, it's very, very unlikely that he would be in a worse position going forward. The Joint Committee on Taxation suggests that average Americans in each and every tax bracket will receive an income tax cut. So in real terms, it's very likely that he will receive a tax cut. So again, I agree with you. I can't tell him precisely whether or not he benefits, because it's clear beyond question that there are some winners and losers. But most Americans, that is 90 to 97% of the American people, will benefit from either version of this tax reform bill.
I think it's also important to note, Professor Hutchison, that as the new code takes place, you will also be able to sort of alter the way you have organized your tax profile to better fit into the new structure. So some of these things might take some ironing out on our end and adjusting the way that we control our finances. I want to go quickly to Colonel Wes Smith, a retired colonel from the U.S. Army, also a military chaplain, a senior military analyst at the ACLJ. And again, we're going to continue taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 on the tax issue after this break. But Wes, we'll get into more of this in the next segment as well. But I want you to give us a very quick update in the next minute or so on the situation in North Korea. It seems to me that it is getting worse by the day. What is your sense?
Yeah, it really is. The North Korean weapons program and its ballistic missile programs continue apace. And last week, they fired their third ICBM this year. It flew farther than anyone thus far. The other missiles, 2,800 miles. Had it been on a traditional attack trajectory, it would have gone approximately 8,100 miles, which puts the entire east coast of the United States within range of North Korean missiles. And so their program continues unchecked. And at some point, the world and the United States is going to have to make a decision about how to counter this program. And to not make a decision, Than, is in effect to make a decision. And the threat is not going away.
Folks, we're going to get more from Colonel Smith on this right after the break. I really do think that the threat is imminent. Action is probably shortcoming at some point. We'll get more from Colonel Smith on what that exactly might mean. We also want your calls on the tax issue, 1-800-684-3110. But folks, if you can support the work of the ACLJ, now is a great time to do it. As we come up against the end of the year, any gift that you can make, which is tax deductible, will be doubled. So your $10 gift becomes $20 and so on. We really do depend on it for our work here at the ACLJ. So go to aclj.org and help us support our work.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, The ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. Going to jump right in here. I want to get right back to Colonel Wes Smith on the situation in North Korea because our phone lines are fairly full here. You can be a part of the broadcast at 1-800-684-3110, and I'm going to get to as many of those as possible. But Colonel Smith, you were talking about how this threat from North Korea is growing by the day. I'm a layman looking at this, but what I see when I look at the situation is a madman who is intent on threatening the world, and of course his primary target is the United States. But I see an increase in capacity every time he tests his weapon system. As you mentioned, the last test went higher and with a further range than any before. What we don't know is if it has the capability to re-enter the atmosphere. But quite frankly, while you and I don't have access to all of the information that the commander-in-chief has, that, of course, is a risk that he cannot take. So I'm glad to see him reaching out to China and other international leaders. But in my view, you have a dictator in North Korea who is intent on conflict, and our commander-in-chief is faced with the responsibility to protect the American people. It seems to me like he has every reason that he needs to move forward to protect the American people.
Yeah, absolutely. And the question really comes down to this then, and that is, you know, we basically have three options. One is to do nothing. If we do nothing, most experts say within a year or so, they will have the ability to take a miniaturized nuclear weapon, place it on the tip of an ICBM, and they've already shown that they have their ICBM technology pretty well down. Or we can do a limited military strike. You know, perhaps much like we did in Syria, we do not know what Kim's reaction would be to this, but to take out the missiles on the launch pad, perhaps, you know, strike some of their nuclear facilities, or of course, a general preemptive military strike. All of those are fraught with risk. To do nothing is a risk. To do a limited military strike is a risk. To do an all-out military campaign is a risk. But the question, the key question is this then, and that is, because we know that certain actions that we take, he will probably launch an attack on South Korea, and that would be a horrible thing. But the question is, do we risk the safety of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of South Koreans and take no action? Or do, you know, by doing that, do we put the American people permanently under the threat of a nuclear missile attack, something that the United States has not lived with since the collapse of the Soviet Union and the end of the Cold War? We lived, my generation, growing up with the possibility of a nuclear missile attack. We have not lived with that since the Russian Federation came into being. If we do nothing, we will perhaps save many, many South Korean civilians, but we will permanently put America under the threat of a North Korean nuclear attack within the next year or two. And so the decisions that the president has to make are few, and they're all fraught with risk. There are no good options. But as I said earlier, to do nothing, that in and of itself is a decision, and the American people will live under a permanent threat if we don't take action.
Colonel Smith, we're going to get to the phones here after this, but let me ask you one quick question about the authority of President Trump, because I know you've done a lot of work talking about how some of the budgetary rules in Congress have restricted the ability to, maybe pay for some of the resources that we need to address threats like this. Now, I think there's still great confidence that we have the capacity to respond.
Sure.
But I guess my question to you is, what latitude does the commander-in-chief have when there is a threat like this to move? I don't even think the right word is preemptively. Maybe you can instruct me on what the right word is. But when there's an imminent threat like this, mm-hmm. What is the latitude of the commander-in-chief to respond?
The commander-in-chief has very wide latitude, both constitutionally and legislatively, as the commander-in-chief to take military action. And that is something that has been done in the past. He has the authority to do it. He certainly has good military advisors, his national security advisor and the Secretary of Defense and others. But as far as authority goes, if the safety and security of the United States is at risk, whether that safety and security, the threat is short term or long term, it's still a threat. And constitutionally, legislatively, the president has the power to do this. Even the War Powers Act, as it's called, does not restrict the president in taking some action to defend the United States.
Folks, there's a whole lot more from Colonel Smith at ACLJ.org on all of these national security issues. I'd encourage you to go online, get informed about this situation. It's one that is not going away. It will continue to develop, and the president has some very tough choices ahead of him, but it does involve the security of the American people, so I think you should be as informed as possible. Again, ACLJ.org, look for Colonel Smith's articles on this topic. I want to go to quickly to the phones in the last few minutes of the broadcast here. Several people calling in with questions on various issues. Let's go to Charles calling from California on line five. I know he's got a question about the taxes. California, of course, a very high tax state, so a state that is following this debate very closely. Charles, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. My question is kind of a two-part. I live in Orange County, California. We're our median price is $700,000, and middle-class people who are homeowners, we all live in, you know, $500,000, $600,000 homes, and the tax cut sounds like a tax increase for us. And then, you know, so the $1 million, I think it's the Senate bill that sounds like it would affect us a lot less, but, you know, still affect a lot of people I know that live in, you know, $1.1, $1.4 million homes. So it sounds like a tax increase.
Yeah, let me just quickly jump in, Charles. We're running out of time, but let me address the two issues you raised. One, the mortgage interest deduction. You're right. The current House bill sets the cap on purchase of new homes, not an existing home that you have, an existing mortgage, the purchase of new homes at $500,000 for deducting the interest on that mortgage. The Senate bill sets that purchase price at $1 million. So you're right. If the Senate bill language would carry on that, any purchase of a new home up to $1 million, all of the interest on that mortgage would be deducted. But in any case, an existing home would remain unchanged. The other issue that you raise is the state and local income taxes. Of course, California's taxes are very high. Essentially, Susan Collins negotiated some language in the Senate that makes it mirror the House approach on this. Your deduction for state and local taxes would go away in exchange for that increase in the standard deduction that you're getting at the top of the bracket, but you would be able to deduct up to $10,000 in property taxes. I am in a very high tax state as well. The $10,000 allowance for property tax would allow me to deduct all of my property tax, so I would guess that you're probably in a very similar state, but that's where those two provisions stand. I want to go very quickly, see if I can get one more call in before the end of the broadcast. Let's go to Ken calling from New York, also a high tax state. Oh, Ken dropped. Let's go to Ruth calling on line two, also from California. Ruth, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Mine is going back to the Comey and Mr. Strzok's editing of Comey's speech. Why would Comey go with the edited version when his determination was the harsher one? Because isn't Comey the head of the FBI? Not
he certainly is, and he is responsible. Ruth, you are absolutely correct for the final statement that came out. And while it might have been Agent Strzok's pen on the email that made that change, this was a collaborative effort inside the FBI. In my view, it was a deliberate move to change the wording so it was not as directly applicable to the statute, although, as Professor Hutchison clearly pointed out, the change really did not make her any less legally liable for just because those words had changed. So again, folks, a lot covered on the broadcast today. If you can support the work of the ACLJ, you can do it online at aclj.org. Your gift will be doubled as part of our matching challenge as we come up against the end of the year. So I encourage you, if you like the work of the ACLJ, if you're informed by this broadcast, go now to aclj.org and have your tax deductible gift doubled.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.